No, my woman gave me these numbers to play. 15, 30, 37, 38, 45, 47, 15, 30, 37, 38. 45, 47.
Just hurry up. I got customers to serve.
45, 47. All right. How much are you?
$7.50.
$7.50. It's 50, not 750.
Welcome to What the Nostalgia Podcast, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? We're your hosts, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And we thank you for listening. Jamel, let us know what we got.
All right, man. Today, for those who know, if you know, you know. By the intro song, today we will be doing All About the Benjamins. This was released March 8th, 2002. It was directed by Kevin Bray. It was starring Ice Cube, Mike Epps, and Eva Mendez. And for the box office, they had a budget of $14 million and grossed over $26 million worldwide.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Wow, baby.
What's your initial thoughts on this one, man? You know?
My first thoughts, I mean, I haven't seen this movie in a while. Let me see. My first thoughts were, man, I guess they were trying to recapture the magic of this pairing of Ice Cube and Mike Epps. You know what I'm saying? I mean, because they did that thing in next Friday. So they said to themselves, all right, we got to get these two together one more time.
Right.
I'm going to say this. I think they did maybe like three movies together. Oh, hold on. My fault. Not counting the Friday After Next. Okay, that was the second one. I think. I don't remember
they
which one.
They did a few. Yeah, Friday After Next was the last one. But yeah, they did. I think they did a few, man. They did a few more because I know they had that Janky Promoters. I don't know if you ever saw that joint.
This is about to be my point. It goes downhill from the first movie to the last.
I see what you're saying.
So you know, this movie on Rotten Tomatoes, I mean, I think it's at like a 31%. You know what I'm saying? But that being said, this was a movie. Hey, I seen it a few times, and it was back in the day, it was like a great comedy, I guess, to us at the time. You know, we'll see if that still stands. But yeah, that's where I'm at. Like, they said to themselves, yo, we got to get these pair back again. Which makes me say, Why couldn't Ice Cube and Chris Tucker get another movie in outside of Friday?
I wish that would have happened. I definitely wish that would have happened. I don't know the real story, though. I mean, I've heard, you know, I'm pretty sure you heard it before, too, about the whole discrepancy about the money and Friday. And a few of the people were saying Ice Cube didn't pay him that much. I don't know if. Because I kind of feel like it's some underlying things there to why they... Because you got to think, man, they made a classic, like a all-time classic film. And for them to never work together again, that's kind of odd.
Well, yeah. I mean, it really was. But those are the breaks, man. That's just how it worked out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, this is for me, man, this is definitely one of those comedies I've seen a lot. I'm trying to remember if this was my actual introduction to Mike Epps, because all of these movies that they did, Next Friday, this one, and Friday After Next, they was all kind of close together in release. So I can't remember exactly the order I saw all those three movies in, but he definitely was the highlight for me. I know I'm kind of skipping a little bit, but you know, he made this movie for me, you know, made it funny at that time. And, you know, it was a movie that, that, like I said, is just, especially in our community, man, it's one of those staples, in my opinion.
No doubt.
Yeah, man.
Well, with that being said, you want to go ahead and get into it?
Yeah, let's get into it, man. And well, actually, let me bring up this point, because you touched on it a little bit, but this is something I didn't know, and this is wild within itself, man. This year, Ice Cube was on a roll, man. Did you know this in 2002? This movie, All About the Benjamins, Barbershop, and Friday After Next was all released in the same year.
Friday After Next was 2002. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
he was.
It was Benjamin's in March. Barbershop was in like September or November, and then Friday After Next was in December.
Oh, okay. How did we get there? Wasn't in that, you know?
Nah.
Okay.
I think that was a little down the line.
Later.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, hey, yeah, that is a good three movie stretch. All of that came out the same year. Dang.
Same year.
Yeah, that's crazy. I don't know how shooting works in the time frame, so I don't know. But that's what's up, man. Yeah, he was doing his thing. And that's what's up that he was able to switch over. He's one of those people. When it comes to rappers, is he like one of the most prolific in switching over?
He gotta be, in my opinion, because I mean, he's not even just acting, but he's directing too, you know. So, I mean, directing, producing. So, he gotta be the top, man. I mean, I'm just, you know, speaking off the top of my head, but I mean, it's a good pick nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I could think of maybe LL Cool J, you know. I feel like he did all right in crossing over, but I don't know. I'm trying to think of what rappers reached the heights that Ice Cube did. I mean, Tupac, you know, he did his thing as well. A lot of people were really, you know, commending him on how good of an actor he was. So, yeah, I don't know, man. I just feel like, yeah, I give Ice Cube his props in that regard. I think he's one of the top people to cross over from that media.
For sure. For sure. And it's a shame, too. I know you probably heard of that story. That he doesn't have the rights to his movies. I don't know if you heard about that. That's why they've been giving him trouble, or that's why the Friday never got done. They were talking about doing another Friday, which, I mean, that's one of those I feel like you got to kind of leave behind anyway, because, you know, you did three, you know, and they kind of got worse as they went on. So, you know, and everybody was older anyway, but yeah, it's just crazy to me how he said they was kind of giving him a runaround with a lot of his films, you know.
I'm going to be honest. You know what? Never mind. I'm not even going down that road.
Go ahead.
I mean, I was going to say we talk about All About the Benjamins, but you just mentioned the Fridays getting worse. And honestly, I feel like they got better each time.
Really?
I'm saying it. Yep. I know Friday is considered a classic. I feel like they got better each time. I feel like the last one is like the funniest one.
I don't know, man. I mean, I would say Next Friday, definitely. It wasn't like a huge downgrade. I'm not saying that, but I mean, compared to the first one, I mean, that's just, maybe it's just personal preference. Like, I literally watch that movie every day once something.
All right, we got to get back to this one.
Yeah, let's get back into it. That's just some fact, I guess, fun facts for you guys listening that might not know some backstories and things like that. But to get into this one, the opening scene, man, they pretty much set it up pretty quickly. Ice Cube's character, he plays a bounty hunter. He's on his job early. It's crazy to me they call him Book'em. I mean, I don't know if that was the thing that they was kind of trying to play off of. I don't know. I doubt they was trying to be that smart, but I found that a little funny. But in that opening scene, man, it was a few things, man. First off, he was in a territory where he definitely didn't belong. I mean, you could tell that off the bat. But it was one question I had to ask you, because I didn't even really notice. But do you think bounty hunters are underpaid? Because, I mean, if dude was in there kind of going after Ice Cube as he was trying to bust him, talking about how he broke and, you know, he don't really make that much money. So I was trying to, you know, I was wondering that, man, because I already kind of, there was kind of playing on that throughout the film as far as how the police kind of look at bounty hunters, you know.
Yeah, I mean, judging from this movie, I guess they're underpaid. Yeah, he, yeah, I guess, I mean, even his partner or whatever, Pam, said something like, yeah, you broke or whatever. She was like, you broke his knee.
Yeah, she did. I forgot about that. She did say that.
So, yeah, I'm assuming it's, yeah, not, you're not getting too well paid. I don't know. I guess it depends on the client or the target. Like, if it's just some low scale. Yeah, for Reggie, I guess you're not getting paid much. But I don't know. If there was a more serious target, then I guess maybe he would have got broke off. Hey, maybe you got to step your game up. Maybe you got to get into the hitman game or something. I don't know.
Work your way up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, you get promoted from bounty hunter to hitman.
Right. Just got to prove yourself at first. You need to get there sooner or later.
Right.
But what was there anything in that opening scene that kind of stood out to you? Anything you wanted to touch on?
I mean, firstly, when he shows up, I thought it was like a scene out of I Am Legend, the way it was. I don't know. It just looked a little crazy. But he steps onto the scene, yeah, and he has to go. They're just showing you the danger of his world, basically. Up, he got to go get this this racist guy, basically. Or at least the movie wants you to know he's racist, basically. He got the little flag and all that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, as he's going to go get the guy, and he goes into the little trailer, the dude is just going like extra racist, I guess. Like his day is just filled with, you know what, I gotta be racist today. And he's just sitting there watching one of these old racist cartoons. I don't know if you up on some of these cartoons that like got banned back in the day, like that you got to, I don't know, I don't even know how you see it, but some of this Disney stuff or whatever, they got like hidden in the fold. But yeah, he's basically, he's watching one of these old time racist cartoons, and I'm like, okay, like they yeah, they really pile it on. But
they was playing it up for sure.
Yeah, but they, yeah, so he's, like I said, doing his thing, bounty hunting this guy, and then his wife, I guess his girl, comes out. She's shooting at him. I got a problem with how Bookum, all throughout this movie, is handling firing his weapon. I'm like, you need to let off some shots, dude. What are you doing? Like, people are shooting at you. Yeah, she starts shooting with a shotgun. He just says, bump it. I'm just jump out the window. Then he's outside. What's that?
Luckily, she got bad aim. You got to bring it up. I mean, it was pretty close range that first shot.
Yeah, I guess so. But then he's outside, and what is that? The dude's mother or neighbor or something?
I thought it was a neighbor.
I guess. Either way, she comes out, and she's shooting. And then the original target, he comes back out, and he's wrestling with him, and, you know, he subdues him. And he's like, yeah, you're going to jail. And I'm like, what about the people? Okay, hold on. Did he clothesline the girl with the shotgun?
Nah, he did that with his own arm. I was just about to ask you. I was like, man, he ain't even going to mention the dang on the rock clothesline that he gave the woman.
Oh, so, okay, so he handled her, but what about the neighbor who was shooting? I'm like, bruh, don't you need to still be worried? Wasn't she just shooting at you?
I don't even think he did nothing to her.
That's what I'm saying. That moment bothered me.
It's like she let off some shots and went back in the house.
As far as I'm concerned, she's still out there. And he just was like, just forgot about it. And I was like, all right, we're moving on. But yeah, that's what I noticed.
I guess, man. But yeah, that was they set the opening scene up well, man. And just real quick to bring that whole underpaid thing up, it was just like, I felt like it was a running theme as well throughout the movie, because even when he goes back to the, I guess, main office after all of that, he's asking the dude, I guess it was his boss or somebody that hires him, was like, if you put me on the payroll, you know, everything will be good, basically. So I was sitting there wondering, like, man, you know, you're not even on the payroll and you're doing all this. He gave him a check. But I was trying to figure that whole thing out, like what that situation was about, you know. But it seemed like it was kind of a running thing throughout the film. You know, him spending $600 on the fish and then complaining about money. Yeah. I was like, man.
Yeah, we need to talk about that fish for a second. But before I get to that, yeah, it's definitely, I guess the story is, this is one bounty hunter's mission to get rich or whatever.
Right. That is true.
Yeah, from rags to riches of the bounty hunter world. This is what the movie is about, basically. And yeah, so I guess he's not really getting paid too much. And do you notice the scene, though, when he's talking to his, what is that, though? I guess his boss or whatever. I'm like, man, it felt so typical, that scene of the hot shot. That's the other part about this movie. They got the hot shot bounty hunter not doing mm-hmm. things quite by the rules and everything. And it's like a real right. typical scene, basically. And causing up all kind of ruckus, a little too much damage, and a boss who's kind of sick of it, you know, I'm too old for this shit type of, you know, old scene.
Right.
I don't know. It kind of
yeah,
bothered
me. Yeah, because he did, like, when he first pulled up, I mean, he was already outside waiting for him when Ice Cube pulled up. And didn't he say something about, like, every time he goes out, his shots fired, you know, and stuff like that, so... That was really setting that up as well, for sure.
Yeah. But bringing up those fish that you was talking about, though. Yeah, I mean, they try to set up, I guess they're trying to give him a little something. I had a problem with this. I got too many problems. But I had a problem with this as well. They gave him a fish to make you feel a little something towards him. Like, oh, okay, he's a hardened guy, but... He's taking care of a fish, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's supposed to feel a little something. You know how these movies
do. It
wasn't
enough. Yeah.
It wasn't enough because the fish winds up dying on him, right? Like, I mean, I guess he left the fish in the car too long, which also he's on, like, some crazy chase. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense that you stress the fish out. They don't take too much. You on a full chase of this car with the fish. Yeah, it probably died.
But, and this dang old plastic bag, I mean, it's not like it had a lot of room either to maneuver.
Yeah, but my problem was, I was like, okay, so that's it? Y'all not going to try to get him? Does he get another fish in this movie, or wasn't that it?
Nah, that was it.
I had an issue with that. I was like, watch y'all even introduce this fish.
I was like, $600 down the drain.
Yeah, well, I was like, what was the point? I was like, okay, so it just died, and now what? That's it?
Yeah, that was kind of, yeah. They introduced that and killed that storyline pretty quick. Didn't take long.
I mean, I didn't need everything to be centered around it, you know what I'm saying? But I could have used a little something. You know,
yeah.
Even later on when they looking in the tank, you know what I'm saying, in the fish tank, and they find diamonds and stuff like that. I'm like, man, y'all couldn't have brought something about the fish back in some way.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, one thing I gotta speak on next, man. I gotta hit on that Miami vibe, man. You know, this is shot in Miami, and I mean, I feel like any time a movie is shot in Miami, I mean, it's just, I just love the vibe of it, man. I mean, I'm going to just run down just a few names, man. You know, There's Something About Mary, Too Fast, Too Furious, Scarface, Bad Boys, and of course, one of the greatest shows of all time, Dexter, and this film here. So I just love the vibe, man. I love how it seems like most of those films too, you know, they have a certain way to shoot those films in Miami, and it just brings a certain vibe to the film, you know. And for me, it's sometimes, I'm not going to say every time, but a lot of times, just a vibe of a film can kind of help me look past certain things, you know, if the vibe and the shot is great of the film. So, you know, I just had to bring it up, man. I don't know if you kind of, how you feel about movies or shows shot in Miami, if you had anything at all on that.
Yeah, it's a real vibrant feel, and I get what you're saying, you know. It's the opposite of, you know, Coen Brothers film. You know what I'm saying? They don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. It's funny you bring up Dexter, because I was thinking about it. I was like, man, you know what? I would love a crossover if between this and Dexter, if he had been a bounty hunter looking for Dexter or something like that, then this would have been, you know, a little more entertaining. You know, I'm like, give me a but. But then again, I mean, it goes with the theme of the movie. You know, it didn't have to get too murderous. It just, it's about a heist, and it's about the diamonds, and it's about the Benjamins and all of that.
Right.
But yeah, I get what you're saying, though, about the vibe of it. It does make you feel, you know, it's like you feel alive, I guess, in the city or whatever.
Exactly. Yep, that's exactly how I feel. Now, one thing I got to bring up, man, we got to mention, we kind of brought him up a little bit in the beginning, and of course, the opening scene that we play opening this up. But Mike Epps, man, you know, like I was kind of saying in my opening dialogue, I can't remember which of these movies I saw, you know, first, you know, but I feel like this was one of the first ones I saw with Mike Epps in it. And, I gotta say, man, certain things he does, like today, it's still kind of funny to me, but I ain't gonna front, man. A lot of those lines in this film wasn't hitting like they did back in the day. Like, some of it was definitely still funny, I'm not gonna front, but it was certain lines I was like, man, that just don't, it's not as funny, you know, because you definitely know when something is just always funny, because, I mean, it doesn't matter how many times you watch it, you can still laugh at it, you know. And it was just certain scenes I know I used to laugh at that I didn't laugh at this time around. But he definitely still, that doesn't take away the quotables he had in this movie. I mean, I feel like he had more quotables in this than he did in the Fridays almost. You know, I just remember so many people doing the whole lotto, you know, reading the lotto numbers and the five head. And I mean, it was a lot of lines in this movie that people took and was quoting them. You know, outside of the film.
Look, he is shining light in this movie, man. Like, when he steps on the scene, for me, I'm like, man, I could see. As I was watching this back, I was like, I could see how he became, you know, the comedy star that he became during that time. Like, you know, some of those lines, yeah, I still give it respect to this day. Like, some of those lines, maybe not as funny like you said, but they're still very quotable. I mean, that first clip that we played, you know, I mean, with the lot, I mean, that's a, I can't forget that song. I can't get that song out of my head. And then the 750, you know what I'm saying? That was, that was funny. That was still funny. And five head, it didn't make me laugh, but still, you know, it's hit or miss, but. I stand by the lines that were delivered in this movie. They're still quotable.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, you can't take nothing away from it. Whether it's as funny to you or not, I mean, you know, you can't really take anything away from it, you know. So, but yeah, like you said, definitely he steals every scene he's in, you know, in this film, man. I feel like a lot of things that he does, and, you know, I'm a fan of a stand-up. You know, I think you kind of put me on a stand-up a while back. I mean, a minute ago. But you can see how influential these lines were, because he took a lot of this stuff and put it in the stand-up even, you know, years later. So yeah, this was definitely a good break for him, for sure. But
now, hold on.
Go ahead.
I'm just going to say this as well, though. I do feel like this was kind of like the beginning of the end of his good movie roles. Like,
I mean, 2002,
as early as 2002. As early as 2002, I feel like, you know, what else did he, come on, what, when you think about what he's known for, is Friday, you know, it's going to be Day Day mainly, and, you know, I feel like people remember him for this All About the Benjamins character, but outside of that, let me just throw some other movies, and Welcome Home, Roscoe Jenkins, okay, he was funny in that, he was pretty funny in that, that was like 08. Other than that, I don't know. Do you remember him in The Hangover? I don't even remember him in The Hangover.
Not really. I know he had definitely a really small role in that, but I can't even remember. I really can't.
I don't know. I just feel like this was his peak. I'll say that at least. This was his peak, and
I give you that. I mean, like I said, all three of those movies was in like a 3-year span, so, and two of them in the same year, you know, so yeah, this definitely is hype, for sure. Sure, but yeah, we gotta bring up another character who I totally forgot was even in this film. I mean, they had Bow Wow, or I guess at that time, Lil Bow Wow, what he went by. I believe this might have been his first acting role. I can't remember. I think Like Mike was maybe a little later, a couple years later maybe. But yeah, I mean, he had a pretty small role in this, but I totally forgot he was in this, and that was at the height of, you know, his powers as well. I mean, around that time. So, I mean, you had three, you know, one kind of up and coming, I guess at this point he was pretty famous, and Mike Epps, I mean, you know, Ice Cube, of course, all the stuff he did up until this point, and then you had the powerhouse of Lil Bow Wow, who was, you know, doing his thing at that time as well. So, yeah, that was just a little something I wanted to bring up. I forgot he was in this film.
Yeah, I gave this movie points just for having Lil Bow Wow in there, just for him having that cameo. That was a good cameo. I do like movies that do just have, you know, a great cameo, and not overload it though. You know, don't just pull everybody up in the damn thing. But that was cool. If you're gonna get a kid, annoying little kid, why not get somebody, a famous little kid that we know? And Bow Wow, am I going too far by saying like Bow Wow was kind of like the king of the kids game back then? Like he was running the kids rap.
Yeah, I mean,
guess.
Yeah, I don't really think. I guess you had Lil Romeo too, but I mean, everybody knew Bow Wow was the more popular. You know, it was really just them two, right? That was doing the rap thing. I think you had Mario was kind of young back then, but he was a singer. So yeah, he really didn't have that much competition. I mean, when you think about it.
I mean, there might have been somebody else, but hey, he was competing. I mean, he came in. I felt like he was competing with grown-ups when his music came out.
Yeah, he had some hits. He had some hits. I mean, you know, thanks to the Neptunes, the greatest production duo of all time, but it has nothing to do with this episode. You know, do your research if you never heard of him. But yeah, he definitely was doing his thing at that time for sure.
But yeah, like I said, I just felt like that was a real great role, and you know what? They could have brought him back in some small way. They could have brought him back. There was character. Look.
Could have helped out or something. Did something small to kind of help.
Yeah, there was a character that they could have done away with. Honestly, we'll talk about it a little later, but there's a character in this movie that they could have just scratched, just completely, and just had. And I would have rather have seen Lil Bow Wow do his thing.
I'm interested to hear.
I would have rather seen Lil Bow Wow come with Mike Epps or whatever, and you got that relationship as well. But yeah, that's what I'm gonna leave it at.
Let me bring this, since we before we move off of the Bow Wow point, let me bring up this theory I got. And it's really not a theory, it's just something I noted. Right? You got Bow Wow in this film, right? You got Ice Cube, you got Mike Epps. Now, 8 years later, they released a movie called Lottery Ticket, which in this movie, one of the big storylines was the lotto ticket that Mike Epps had won or whatever, and they was trying to get back. Now, like I said, 8 years later, they come out with Lottery Ticket, where Ice Cube is in that film as a little older guy, a little older man, who's teaching people how to fight. And then you got Mike Epps in that movie as well, who's a scamming preacher now. So I just thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know if they kind of, you know, had any talks as far as like, man, we kind of recreating these characters in a way, you know, making this movie.
Yeah, I thought about that.
It was just interesting to me.
Yeah, I thought about that as well. With all of them being in that movie together, like you said, them bringing them all there and it being over a lottery ticket. I said the same thing. I was like, man, maybe they did take a few pieces of that. Now, unfortunately, you know, I'm just looking up at the numbers. Maybe they shouldn't have, because they got about the same rating on Rotten Tomatoes. so
you talking about the lottery ticket movie.
Yeah. So I don't know. But still, you know, maybe we'll, you know, might get to that. But I just thought that, I mean, like you said, that was interesting that they created another movie based off a lottery ticket and being involved. They could have threw a little Easter eggs. I haven't seen that movie in forever, but I know they had to have thought about it with all of them being in that movie. I would have threw in a few, you know, Easter eggs, like, oh, you remember this from All About the Benjamins? Oh, maybe this was, you know, maybe this is from something. Maybe they
like
did.
A nod or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll have to get to that one of these days. But yeah, to move forward, man. Now we got I spoke on it, you know, in that last topic. You know, one of the big things about this film, Mike Epps, he wins the lotto, him and his girl, who's played by Eva Mendez. And, you know, the big thing about it is you can kind of tell of the struggle. Like I said, we spoke on Ice Cube being a bounty hunter and kind of always talking about money, not getting paid. And then Mike Epps, who's kind of like this petty hustler, you know, you kind of tell the struggle that him and his girl is living in. So they win the lotto, but they find out, or he finds out, that he loses his wallet. You know, now where he loses his wallet, it sets up the rest of the story. You know, he leaves it in the back of a van of people who basically was on a diamond heist, you know, and now he has to try to retrieve his wallet back. You know, so it's a lot of things that happen in between that. You know, they're trying to develop the relationship between Ice Cube's character and Mike Epps' character. And once they get to the Diamond Exchange, though, I just got to bring this up, man. It was a lot of errors I saw in that scene, man. Like, at first, when they had the, he was trying to exchange the diamonds for Eva Mendez. They had took Eva Mendez. And the dude was like, show me the rest of the diamonds. And he just pulled out a black bag. You can't even tell what's in there. And dude was like, all right. And they let the girl go. I'm like, man, anything could be in there. They could be fake diamonds or anything. And that was just one of the errors I saw. And I don't know if you noticed, but what was the point of them having the race dogs? Like, really? Why did they bring those race dogs to the track? You know, I mean, I don't think that was any kind of distraction like that, you know. And then they leave and the dogs just running around the track by themselves. Like, they didn't even retrieve the dogs. I was like, man, what? Some of this stuff is just, they're doing a little too much.
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie, I didn't really think about that. I mean, I guess it was just like, let's try to make it seem like it's just normal stuff happening, I guess, while we're doing this heist. I don't know.
But it was closed. You could tell that they was the only ones there. Like, the venue was closed.
Yeah, maybe they're saying to themselves, hey, maybe we'll appear to people as we're so rich, we're having our own private dog racing. competition here or whatever. I don't know. I didn't give it. Yeah. I didn't really notice that, and I didn't really pay it no mind. But yeah, I mean, that heist with what you said with him giving up, I mean, pulling out the black bag and him letting it go. Well, yeah, anything could have been in there. Hey, I guess they're not too good of a underground crime unit because they already got tricked. Well, his henchmen already got tricked earlier in the movie with the fake diamonds. Right. So I don't know. I mean, but he saw one, so I guess that was better than, you know, what the other group did, Ursula and you know, Julian. Speaking of Julian, I gotta give this actor credit. I can't let this podcast go without giving him credit. This is one of my favorite actors in film as well. And honestly, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. It's like Roger. I'm just going to say Roger Smith. He got another name that I don't know how to pronounce. But he does his thing. He's a good actor. He got good range. And I felt like he was a decent character in this movie as well.
He looked familiar, but I couldn't, you know, I don't remember anything else he's been in.
Wow. That's a damn shame. Yeah. Come on, man. You don't know him as Smiley from what's the Spike Lee joint? Do the Right Thing. Come on, man.
Oh, that's the same dude?
Yeah, it's the same guy. You don't know him as what else was he in, man? He was on like Get on the Bus. Was in Oz. You probably never watched Oz, but yeah, he was in Oz. This dude is a good actor, man. I'm trying to tell you, he a real good actor. You gotta watch this one man show thing that he does, where he's playing like Rodney King, I believe. Or hold on, it may be two different things. I think he's doing something similar. Maybe Huey P. Newton, and I think he also maybe does a one man show as Rodney King, and he's doing his thing, man. He can act. He can really act, but
Okay.
But yeah, he's just one of my favorite actors in film, and I always got to give props when I see one of my guys pop up in a movie. Okay. So
I might have to get a little more familiar, man. Because I ain't gonna lie, at first I was thinking because I hadn't seen this movie in a while. When he had the accent at the beginning, I was like, man, I hope he don't talk like that the whole movie, because I could tell it was a fake accent. You know, so I was like, man, that's kind of horrible. But then they bring it around where he was faking the accent, you know, just for the whole plan they had for the diamond.
I'm not going to lie. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, dang, I don't really remember. Do he talk with that accent the whole time? But yeah, when he dropped it, I was a little relieved. So I was like,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, right. Sounds good.
Right.
But yeah, that's what I had on him.
Now, did you have something on any other characters, man? Because I know, well, you already brought up the, you know, you wish you could replace one character, but you know, I know you'd be having the characters that deserve to die too. I don't know if you had anything in that arena on this review.
I didn't really have nothing in the deserve to die arena, but. I did want to just talk about Bookham's partner, Pam. I had an issue with her character. I was like, I'm not going to lie. I was pretty much like, what was the point of her at all in this movie? Like, y'all didn't give her really nothing. I mean, the first scene that we get with her, when Bookham is walking to the office or whatever he works at, she's just sitting there drying her nails or whatever, just blowing on her nails, talking about something. You should have brought me with you. I could have been your partner. Like, you don't look like you're doing nothing right now. Now, again, they didn't really give her anything. I was like, y'all couldn't have did more. Even when she gets into the action, basically, at that track, I was like, what is she doing? It was
kind of like, because I had noticed that too. I was like, man, Eva Mendez's character, what was her name? Gina, I believe.
Yeah, she probably did more.
It seemed like she was doing more than her. Talking about some, give me the gun and all that stuff. So I was like, man, that was kind of, you know.
Exactly. When they had that part where she was like, give me that. I was like, you're not going to do nothing with it. I was like, you seem, I was like, what kind of partner are you? I was like, you don't got right. no gun? I was like, you don't have right, no gun right. yourself? And then right. on top of that, I hate, bruh, when don't have stupid callbacks, because I don't know if you noticed this. You know, when I just brought up her blowing her nails from the beginning when we first meet her.
Uh-huh.
During the scene when they go ahead and escape after the little exchange, she's in the car and she's like, Bookham, you made me break a nail. I was like, oh my God. You can't. I was like, so
that do go into your point. As far as if she complaining about that, you know, the first time she gets some action out there, then she's not a good partner at all.
Exactly. And that's the point where I was like, you could have scratched her completely. If y'all wasn't gonna give her nothing, she could have did something. They just didn't give her nothing.
They could have went the love interest route. I mean, if anything, but they didn't even really do that.
Look, this movie is an hour and like maybe less than an hour and a half. They ain't have time. They was like, we already got one married couple. You could have just scratched that and just had little Bow Wow come into the scene. Okay. Like I said, you should have gave him a bigger part.
Well, I ain't gonna front. I feel like that would have made more sense though. Like the scene, just think about the scene that she actually had. If you just replace the nothingness that was there and just make it more so, a love interest scene that she was in, not only would that give her more purpose, but it would also bring in a side for Bookham that was missing when they tried to do it with the fish. You see what I'm saying? So I feel like they missed the opportunity on that.
Look, the whole thing that they was doing, though, I mean, the theme of this thing is that they're trying to get Bookham to develop some trust, basically. So
right.
he, you know, that's why they talking, you know, the way that they are early on, where she's like, "Oh, you didn't bring me with you and everything." He don't trust her for a good reason, because you just sitting in the office blowing on your nails. But also, he don't trust Reggie, and that's a hurdle that they gotta mount, because they are now, this is a buddy cop film, basically. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was gonna bring that up to you, man. It's like it turns into that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a buddy cop film between a bounty hunter and his target or whatever, who's a con man. So he has to so that's the theme, also underlying theme of this movie. Bookham has to learn to trust, basically.
Right.
And how do you
and
trust
then they throw in the fact that he's arrested Mike Epps so many times. I think they said something like 14 times. Arrested Mike
up. I don't know if they said 14. I thought they said 3. Now I could be wrong.
Well, he might have. I think Mike Epps might have said something about being arrested 14 times. It might not have all been by him, but I think that kind of adds the level of distrust that Bookham will have towards, you know, having that history.
Yeah, but you know how Mike Epps be lying in this movie. So I just feel like if he said that probably was just like a lie. But who knows? Maybe he did. Maybe he did get arrested 14 times. I don't know. But yeah, for me, you could have scratched her and brought in Little Bow Wow.
Save the day.
He ain't had to save the day. He could have just, I don't know, he could have had some bit of extra role, but then again, nah. I mean, they needed something in Bookham's world. Lil Bow Wow ain't even there. Oh, speaking of that, hold on. How crazy of a bounty hunter is he? Because when he tackles Reggie off that little moped, and Lil Bow Wow is like, you know, kind of getting on him, like, hey, you don't have to do that. He raised the gun up at Lil Bow Wow. I'm like, dude. Like, what is going on? You should be in jail. You're terrible.
Now you can see why his boss was saying all that stuff from the beginning.
Yeah.
That was a perfect example.
Yeah, apparently he's not fit to be a cop or be even a bounty hunter.
He said by any means necessary.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, man. But to move forward, this happens not that far into the film after the diamond exchange. But I just found it kind of funny, man. I don't know if you noticed this, but you know, in these films, especially when you had a buddy cop movies and stuff like that, the people separate or they get into it, and you know, something happens to where they go their separate ways for a little bit, and then they eventually come back together.
Right.
Did you notice how quick of a reunion they had in the same exact scene? You know, Ice Cube was basically telling Mike Epps, this is after the diamond exchange, by the way, where it kind of went a little bit wrong. He's telling him, you know, we never was partners, we never was friends and all this stuff. And, you know, Mike Epps is like, you know, I don't need this, whatever, whatever. And him and his girl, Eva Mendez, walk off. And then the same, literally 30 seconds later, Pam is telling him, you need to go apologize, it was wrong. And he goes over there and they make things right. I was like, man, I guess kind of what you brought up, they might not have had time to make it as, you know, lengthy of a breakup. But I just thought that was kind of funny there, how it all happened within like a minute's time, you know.
Oh, yeah, I definitely noticed it. And I was I was frustrated by it. Damn all of that. You got time for this. If you don't have time for nothing else, you got time to divide this up. Look, you cannot have the damn all is lost moment and a reconciliation within damn 45 seconds.
Right, right.
It feels dumb as hell. It felt dumb as the movie. that's what I'm saying. It felt as dumb as the movie. And just the nudging of him by Pam, I was like, okay, I guess it's Pam's thing. Like, go talk to him or something like that. I'm like, man, this is stupid. This is stupid. Like, you literally just, yeah, like I said, he was just literally talking about, yeah, we weren't never partners, we weren't never friends, and all of that. And then 15 seconds later, now you got to, hey, man, you know, we need each other, man. I was just playing about all that stuff that I just said. I was like, this is terrible. I was like, come on, man. Like, when you look, I'm gonna bring up Rush Hour for an example. Okay. I don't even remember if this was the first one. It might have been the third movie. I don't know. Maybe the second. I can't remember. But at some point, Jackie Chan got mad with Chris Tucker character, and he said, you know, he's like, you're not my brother, or whatever. And they pissed off with each other, and they go their separate ways. You know, Chris, you know, they both, you know, bothered and stuff like that. And in those times, like, you flipping between both of their viewpoints, and while they upset with each other, Chris is still going to eat some Chinese food and stuff like that, thinking about, and I don't know, Jackie Chan is like, I don't know what they did for him. Maybe he's watching a basketball game or something.
He thought he died in that fire, that blow up fire, and then he was singing that P. Diddy joint. I'll be missing you.
Yeah.
Joint in the car.
Yeah, but I mean, but they did have something for him. Like, he was, I think he went to go do something. Now, okay, maybe that was the thing. I don't know. But the point is, you get what I'm saying. It's like they had a little time to think about this, okay? You need a little time. Give me 3 minutes, okay? Or something. you could have fit 3 minutes of a real reconciliation in here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's the difference between, you know, a bad movie and a good movie, man.
It was almost like they got the order wrong when you think about it, because really, they should have had it to where they got into it like that. They separate, and then Mike Epps finds out Eva Mendez gets kidnapped, which forces them to come back together, forces Ice Cube to go help
right.
them. You know what I'm saying?
That would have been better. That would have been way better if it worked like that. Exactly.
And, right. So yeah. It's almost like they wrote it out of order. So.
Yeah, that's wild. But that's how it went, man.
And, yeah. You know. Now, I got to bring up this, too. This is something else that I was, like, kind of questioning. But basically, to kind of fast forward through the film, man, they end up getting the bad guy, pretty much. And they also, I think they take the diamonds, or Ice Cube ends up turning some of the diamonds in, but he stashes away all the money that they was trying to exchange the diamonds for. So he pretty much tells Mike Epps he has to go to jail for, like, I think he said, like, three or four weeks or something like that. And this whole time, like I mentioned earlier, one of the main storylines was this lotto ticket, right? That they won, you know, they kind of bring it up towards the beginning of the film. Now, I don't know how this works, but he spends his whole time in jail. He comes out of jail, and Ice Cube, Pam, and Eva Mendez is there to pick him up from jail. Now, Eva Mendez still has the lotto ticket and hasn't turned the lotto ticket in. It's been 6+ weeks. I was sitting there like, how does that work in real life? I feel like after a certain amount of time, you lose your right to claim something if you don't turn it in a certain amount of time. I just felt like, I was like, why didn't she turn it in? Just all the stuff I was thinking. I was kind of thinking like you with this movie, because I know you'd be noticing a lot of stuff. I was like, man, why didn't she turn the ticket in while he was in jail? Like, why did they wait? Why did she wait 6 weeks for him to get out of jail to turn the ticket in? That was just certain stuff that I was noticing. As much as they was trying to retrieve that lotto ticket, and they waited all that time to turn it in.
Right. Like, you don't know what else could have happened in between that time. I mean.
Exactly.
What if you lost it again? Or what if.
Right.
What if it turned out like the movie lottery ticket, and everybody knew that you had it? And, you know, the whole hood is stalking you or whatever. Or the whole Miami is stalking you.
Right.
Yeah, that one was a little crazy. But I don't know. I don't know. I guess it was supposed to be just the joy of him seeing the ticket, I guess. Again, it's like the ticket was more of joy to see than the actual dollars. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe that's really the only thing I can think of. But we got to mention, too, Ice Cube pulls up. What was that, a Bentley he was driving?
Yeah.
He was iced out, had the watch on. So they kind of add, and then at the very end, they show him in the boat. They're driving a boat of their own and, you know, driving on that Miami water. So they kind of ended with letting you know that all the money complaints Ice Cube had is pretty much done with now. Him and Reggie, or Ice Cube's character. Or, I mean, Mike Epps' character by the end of the film.
Yeah, he got his riches, he got his diamonds and everything, but hold on, man, I need to go back just a little bit. Okay, the end of this movie also baffles me with the way they do certain scenes. You know, the main bad guy Williamson and everything, him and his girl Ursula. Or whatever. He's disrespecting her, like, all throughout the movie, basically. Or whatever.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, at some point, he's, you know, he thinks he's about to get away on the little speedboat or whatever. And Williamson and Ursula. And it turns out, old boy is up there also. Now, he done took Mike Epps' character hostage or whatever. But it turns out Ice Cube, he's on the boat, you know. So now Williamson has got the gun to Mike Epps' head, and Ice Cube has the gun to Ursula's head. So I'm bothered by this. His plan, you know, you kind of think like they're going to just do a trade off, like, okay, you know, you got mine, I got yours, or whatever. And Williamson just shoots Ursula in the head. I'm like, you gotta think about this scenario, bruh. Some Ice Cube has the gun. You have the gun. Y'all the only two that have weapons. Why would you first kill the person that doesn't have a weapon, who's on your side?
Yeah.
Who's on your side. Not only that, I just Picture this scene in your head as it happened. He shot her. Then he decides to go over there and like wrestle them. I'm like, why didn't you just shoot? I mean, he does want to shoot Mike Epps, but that's after like the wrestling first. Like he tried to wrestle for the gun first. Right. It just didn't make any sense at all. Again, why you would try to do it like that.
It's hard to explain.
It's hard to explain without seeing it, you know what I'm saying? But it just, it's a scene that you kind of like, why would you now make this decision to go wrestle him or to go do that? Right, you could have just literally just shot everybody at the same time. But I don't know.
It was kind of back. It definitely was kind of backwards, man. I don't know if they was trying to show his, you know, trying to portray his ruthlessness or, you know, just I don't care, you know, by any means necessary. I'm going to get these diamonds, this money. But yeah, he definitely more so put himself in harm's way, you know, and in the end, it kind of bit him. Like, he ended up dying in the end. So yeah, it came back around to get him.
Yeah, that stun gun came back into play.
That is true. From the beginning, yep, they brought that back around as well. But yeah, man, I mean, that's pretty much this film, all about the Benjamins, 2002. Like I said, this is a great year for Ice Cube films, and this was one of them in that category. Just to get into, you know, I think my overall, I think I kind of mentioned it earlier, but person I was most impressed with in this film, man, I gotta, of course, I think it's really no other question to me, man. It's gotta be Mike Epps. I mean, you know, like I said earlier, man, every scene he was in, I felt like he kind of stole the show. It seemed like he had a quotable line in almost every scene he was in, you know, and this kind of built on his comedic legend, I feel like this film did. So, you know, that's the one for me. And as far as my rating, I'm going to give this 3 rewind rates because I just feel like it's a fun, one of those fun films again. And like I said, some of the comedy still held up, you know, in this film. So despite the story kind of lacking, I mean, like I said earlier, the setting in Miami, you know, Ice Cube, Mike Epps, that pairing, the comedy, some of the comedy still holding up. So I just at least had to give it a 3.
Okay, we're about on the same page almost. Like you said, the story kind of sucked, but the comedy did hold up for the most part still. And I gave a good amount of points to Mike Epps being in this movie. Like you said, everything he did kind of ate up the scene. He was the star of the thing, and yeah, man, that's pretty much it for me. I'm going 2.5 rewinds. It, you know, wasn't the greatest comedy, but and some of those, some of the things that happened in this movie did irritate me, but Mike Epps brought it up a lot, and Bow Wow, and you know, I'll give it 2.5 for that.
Okay. Respect that. Now, you giving who you were most impressed with, you giving that to Mike Epps?
Yeah, that's Mike Epps.
Okay. Well, cool, man. Well, yeah, y'all, that's the All About the Benjamins review, man. I'm not sure what you got on, you know, on your mind for next review. You know, go ahead and let the people know, man.
Yeah, I think it's time to switch over to a horror, man. You know, I think we did maybe too many comedies. It's time to go over I forget the year, I think maybe 2001. We going Jeepers Creepers, man. I haven't seen that in a minute, but I will be very interested in checking this movie out again. It's time.
Let's do it.
Yeah, with that being said, we're gonna leave y'all with the trailer for that. We thank you for listening. Peace.
I haven't seen a car in 50 miles.
You know what I just thought of, right?
Kenny and Darla.
You believe that story?
That they had to go looking for her head?
They only found the car.
They never found her head.
What's he doing?
The hell is that? He dumped something down that pipe.
Wrapped in a sheet. Is this your idea of a little adventure?
I'm just gonna look.
Hello?
You know the part in scary movies where somebody does something really stupid and everybody hates them for it? This is it.
Every 23rd spring, for 23 days, it gets to eat.
Eat.
What the hell is that thing?
Go!
It's stuck in reverse!
He must have 500, maybe 600 bodies down there.
You've got something it likes, one of you.
Jeepers Creepers.